thank our Lord Jesus Christ. This week, we have the volunteer seminar been held in London Church. We thank our Lord Jesus Christ. We have so many members try to get involved with the volunteer work in Africa. And before we engage in the missionary work in Africa, it's necessary for us to equip ourselves spiritually so that we can fight a good battle for the Lord in Africa. And I would like to share with you the topic of call to serve for our mutual encouragement, some of the spiritual cultivation. So would you please refer to your teaching material. God called us to belong to Him and to follow Him and to serve Him and to glorify Him, which means God called us with a purpose. We have to understand the purpose of God's calling, and one of the important purpose is to serve Him. So belong to Him, follow Him, serve Him, and glorify Him, all center on God Himself. So after we've been called by God, our status have been changed. Originally we belong to ourselves, but after we've been called by God, we belong to God Himself. We no more belong to ourselves, because He purchased us with a heavy price, and the heavy price is His blood. So shall we see the book of Revelation chapter 7? The book of Revelation chapter 7. Verse 13. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robe? And whence have they come?" Verse 14. And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robe and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Now, verse 13 and 14 talk about in God's kingdom, we all have been transformed spiritually. Our robe has been washed white and washed in the blood of the Lamb. And this robe is the righteousness of God. So originally, we belong to Satan, because every one of us, we have sinned. We belong to him. And we have no part with God. And Jesus Christ redeem us by His blood. So we have the righteousness of God. So we were able to come near to God and to belong to Him, because He redeemed us by His blood. If we go to a department store without paying a price, you take away something, then we become a thief. And you will be caught, and you will be prosecuted. But if we pay a price, then the item belongs to you because you have paid a price. Then you can take away the item because it is belong to you. The same thing today, we belong to God because God paid a price. So He called us to belong to Him. So that today we have to understand who am I. And this is a fundamental of our servitude to God. Who am I? If we fail to understand God has authority over us, we belong to Him. We have been purchased by His blood. And it's very difficult for us to serve Him with our totality, because we still consider we belong to ourselves. I'm the master of myself, so I live for myself. And once we know that we belong to Him, then naturally we want to follow Him because He become our master. And we follow Him in order to serve Him. Now let's see the book of Matthew chapter 6 verse. The book of Matthew chapter 6 verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 24 said, no one can serve two masters. In other words, if we serve a master, we are a servant. I recall in the 1980s, when we were in Africa, 1980s, that was in Nigeria, a lot of members call us master, and we tell them we are not master, we just call us brothers. Because 1980s was not very far away from the year of their independence. And before their independence, a lot of British people were in Nigeria. And they get used to the service to the white people. So when they see us, they consider us as higher than they were. So they call us master. But we went there not for the purpose being served, because in front of God, everyone is equal. But there is one who is higher than us, and the one is God Himself. So verse chapter 6, verse 24. Matthew tell us that we can only serve one master, and this is God. And from this verse, we also understand the value of service to God and the values of serving the mammon or serving the world. Because God is high above, and God is perfect, and God is a source of all blessing. So if we serve God, we please Him and glorify Him, and we will be rewarded. Not only because we already receive abundant grace from Him, and His love can motivate us to serve Him, but also there will be great rewards. But if we serve the mammon, serve the world, use our whole life to serve the world, We understand that the end is in vanity. If we count the make a calculation, or we start to work in a company, for example, in the age of 30, and you retire in the age of 65, you may serve in a company for 35 years. Suppose if you earn, I don't know, British pound, if you earn the US dollar for 100,000 annual salary, then 35 years of service, you were able to earn about 3.5 million US dollar. And from the age of 30 to the age of 65 is the most precious years. It's the gold year of your life. You have good energy, you have good spirit, and everything is almost perfect. This is considered the gold age. And we serve the company, and in exchange of a high income, and then we live up our life standard. We buy a lot of things we like. We live a better life. Then after the end of the life, we find out our service in exchange of a higher living standard, but in the end, this high living standard will vanish away. When we are getting old, when we are going to die, you are going to see everything become like a dream, and this dream become vanity. Just like a dream, very, very good, but when you wake up, that was only a dream. So we may try to serve the world in our whole life. The goal is to make money, to please ourselves. But that will be in vanity. But if we serve God, that reward will be different. So God calls us not only to belong to Him, but also to follow Him, and then we can serve Him. So Matthew chapter 4, let's see Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Verse 10. Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and only shall you serve." Before Jesus engaged God's ministry, he was filled by the Holy Spirit, and he was guided to the wilderness and to be tempted by Satan. And one of the three temptations is the temptation of the world. So Satan took him to the top of the mountain and showed him the glory of the world, and asked him in verse 9, "All this I will give you to you if you fall down and worship me." All this, all what you have seen, the glory of the kingdom in this world, I will give it to you if you worship me. So we know that, of course, the people in the world cannot serve God because they were not called. But after the people being called, sometimes we still fail in this temptation. We belong to God, but our ambition, the goal of life, still in the world. But Jesus Christ was able to overcome the temptation because he proclaimed that we should only worship God and to serve God. So from what we have read in the Bible, we understand that service to the Lord is one of a very important purpose of God's calling. And it's a very variable way to live our life. So quite often we heard the people compared with two elderly person in the Bible. One is Solomon, the other one is Paul. And both of them live a quite a long life, and they have different conclusion of the life. Solomon concluded with a sign of vanity, but Paul concluded that life is not in vanity. Why? Because there is a crown of life waiting for me. And how come both of them live their life and different conclusion? If we analyze the content of their life, then we can find out the answer. Paul knew that God called him to belong to him and to follow him, and he really served him. He paid a very heavy price to serve God in order to please God, to glorify God's name. So the reward of his service is crown of righteousness. However, Solomon was given the kingship. That was the grace of God. He failed to understand whatever God gave to him. The purpose, ultimate purpose, is to serve God. But he tried to serve his own desire, make himself happy, fulfill his own lust. So in the end, the life is vanity. So let's see 1 Thessalonians, the book of chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. First Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. Chapter 1, verse 9. For they themselves report concerning us what welcome we had among you, and how you turn to God from idol and to serve the living and the true God. Verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come. We can sum up these two verses into three things in our spiritual life. The content of our spiritual life can be categorized into three things. The first one is verse 9. To turn to God from the idol. And the second one is to serve a living and true God. And the third one is to wait for his coming. I think as a Christian, every day, what we try to do is these three things. The first one is to turn to God from idol. We may say that this should be a topic we talk to the true seeker. If you want to be baptized in TJC, you have to destroy the idol in your home. You to take away anything related to the idol. Surely, this topic is related to the true seeker, but I think as a Christian, every day, this is a lesson we have to learn. What is the idol? Just what we read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. We cannot serve two masters. One is God, the other is Mammon. So when Mammon substitute God in our heart, take the position in our heart instead of God, then the mammon become an idol. So every day we try to elevate God's position in our heart to the highest position and to put God in the first priority. That is every day's effort. We have to do it to turn to God from idol. So whenever there is an idol in our life, and our relationship with God will be hindered. Whenever there is an idol in our life, and our experience with God, our intimacy with God will be weakened. So idol is very destructive in our spiritual life. And the idol can sneak into our heart without our own detection. So when you see a member gradually turn cold in face, initially the member may be very fervent. How come the member turn cold from the face? Then we find out, because in the life, they don't consider God as the most important one. There is something more important than God. So gradually their relation with God deteriorate. I have witnessed many people migrated to, for example, Argentina or South America from China. They have one purpose in their mind, to make money. In order to get there, they have to spend about $60,000 to $70,000 or even United States. Last week I was in Queen's Church. I asked them how many membership in this church, and they asked me, do you want to have an official one or an unofficial one? And then what's the difference? They told me the official one is around 200-300. The unofficial one is about double or triple of the members. And how come there's so much difference? Because there are many people come from China, actually our church member, and they come to United States with one purpose: make the money, making money. So they did get there, but they have to fulfill their goal. So they work 7 days a week, 50 weeks a year. Same in South America, almost the same. So it's very difficult to take care of them spiritually. It's very difficult to pastorate them, because their mindset is not in God's business. Their mindset is to make money. So we cannot expect the members, not particular from China, anywhere. We cannot expect any member to serve God if in their heart there is something more important than God. And that is idol. We cannot expect. Because if there is something more important than God, their focus, their mindset will be in that one, not in God. So the first step is to turn to God from idol. I think the youngster the same in school. If you like to watch the movie, or if you like to use the internet, I spend a lot of time surfing, visit different websites or entertainment. We emphasize something more than God, then it's very difficult for us to serve Him. Because there's an idol. We cannot focus on God. Then how can we serve Him? And the second step is to serve the living and the true God. When we turn to God from idol, then we were able to serve a living and the true God. And the Bible specially said the living and the true God. Why the Bible had to say true God? Because we worship the true God, we serve the true God, then we are going to have true value and true rewards in our life, and our life will not be in vanity, because this true God will definitely reward us. The second one is living God. The living God means there's a response. There's a response. If you talk to a dead person, for example, you have been away from your home for a long time. All of a sudden, if a member receive phone call, please come home. Your parent is dying, and if you go back home, you see the parents are sick gravely but still alive. Sometimes you talk to the parent will have a response. But when the parents die, then you talk to the parent has no response. So the living one means there is a response. So that is the reason why we like to serve God, why a lot of people enjoying serving God. It's not a sacrifice, it's a blessing. Because in the process of your serving God, you are going to receive some kind of response from God. You are going to experience God's power, experience God's abundance, experience God's guidance, and experience God's blessing. And from that interrelationship in our service to God, you really can revitalize your faith, because you have interrelationship with God. So the service to God will change our spiritual life from some kind of only conceptual and some kind of only knowledge into a very living relationship. So I would like to encourage every one of you, if you have your faith is not don't have too much experience, you try to love God and serve Him for a period of time. You are going to see that your relationship with God will improve a lot. Last week I heard a co-worker told me, he was very touched. He said after he came to United States, he came to United States in, I think, in 1990s. It's about 14 years. God had been so nice to him. God had been blessing him so much. So he started to count it one by one, God's blessing to him. So he was so much touched. He said, this is the rewards from God. So he has never had the intention that he served God in order to exchange God's blessing. So he only served God faithfully. But without making any request, God continued to bless him in every stage of his life. So when he was counting God's blessing, I can see that his heart was so much touched by God and attracted by God. So we are serving this living God. And your life will become your spiritual experience will become alive, will become so vivid, not a dead belief. The next one is to wait for the God who come from heaven. So this is the third stage of our spiritual pursuit, to wait for him. So God called us with a purpose, to belong to him, to follow him, and to serve him, eventually to glorify him. Now we come to number A. Number A, we think about the chosen people in the Israelite. And number B, we think about the disciple in the New Testament. So let us see the service, the servitude in the Old Testament and the servitude in the New Testament, and to see what does that mean to us. Okay. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, verse 7. But I will judge the nation which they serve, said God. And after that they shall come out and worship me in this place. Okay, in the Chinese version, it's been translated after they come out and they shall serve me in this place. Israelite was under the control of Egypt for more than 400 years. They were chosen people. But when they were in Egypt, actually, they served the Pharaoh. They were under the control of Pharaoh. And the Israelite spiritually is referring to every one of us. Before we belong to Christ, actually we are serving the king of the world, the Satan. But after God delivered us out of Egypt, the Israelite, they will serve God in this piece of land filled with honey and milk. Point one, God established his law and the ways to serve him. So in the book of Exodus, after Israelite came out of Egypt in the wilderness, step by step, God gave them laws. And these laws is trying to discipline them, and try to teach them how to serve God. Point two. So Moses established the tabernacle as a place to serve God. So we know that in the tabernacle there's a holy of holiness, and inside the holy of holiness there is ark. So the Moses quite often went into the holy of holiness, and he was able to communicate with God and ask God for his will and to serve him. And today, the tabernacle, spiritually speaking, is the church. So we have been chosen to God to belong to his church and to serve him in the church. Let's see the 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. Verse 4 and 5. Chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Come to him, to that living stone, rejected by men, but in God's sight, chosen and precious. Verse 5. And like living stone, be yourself built into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So verse 4 say we are a living stone, a stone with life. And Jesus Christ is a living stone too. So after we've been chosen, we and Jesus Christ united together and to become a spiritual house. And this spiritual house is a church. Church is a body, and he is a head. And in this spiritual house, our role is the priest. So to be a holy priesthood. So every one of us, spiritually, we are a priest. So in the Old Testament, three kind of people are most precious: the king, prophet, and the priest. But in the New Testament, every one of us, we are priest. So we come to the church to assume the priesthood and to offer sacrifice to God. In other words, we belong to the church in this spiritual house and to serve Him. So in the New Testament, everyone in the church must have something to do, because we have been called to assume the priesthood in this spiritual house to serve Him. So if we live a life of servitude to God, we fulfill our duty as a priest. But if we don't live a life of servitude, then we do not fulfill our duty as a priest. So in the Old Testament, God called the Israelites out of Egypt to serve God. And in the New Testament, God called us out of this world to belong to Him, to become His priest, and to serve Him. So this is a privilege, and this is a blessing. Just like in the Old Testament, to be a priest is a privilege, is a blessing. It's a very holy and noble status, the royal priesthood. Point three. The Levites were chosen to serve God in the tabernacle, according to Leviticus chapter 8. So a tribe called Levi has been separated to belong to God Himself, and the purpose is to take care of the business in the tabernacle, in God's temple. So Levi were chosen to serve God in the tabernacle. So in a very narrow sense, the Levi can be referring to the full-time worker who don't have a full-time job in the world, engage in God's business full-time. But in a broader sense, those who try to dedicate themselves to serve God can be considered the people of Levi. So you know that in the Old Testament, when the Israelites overcome the Canaan, they try to distribute the land to the 12 tribes. And the Bible specify, God tell them, the Levites should not inherit any piece of land because God was their property. How can God was their property? Their livelihood will be provided by God. So Levi was a person, a tribe of people being separated by God. The glory of God filled with the tabernacle, and the Israelites were under the guidance and blessing of God in serving Him. Now, let's see Exodus chapter 40. The book of Exodus chapter 40. From 34 to 38. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud abode upon it, and the glory of the Lord was filled with the tabernacle. 36. Throughout all their journey, whenever the cloud was taken up over the tabernacle, the people of Israelite would go upwards. 37. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not go onwards till the day that was taken up. 38. For throughout all their journey, the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israelite. So 34 to 38 talk about the glory of God filled with the tabernacle. So that tabernacle today it represents the church. So Moses was able to enter that tabernacle to serve God. So today through our service, we can see the church grow. And through our service, we are able to see the glory of God fill upon the church. And that is one of the rewards we can have to witness God's blessing and to witness God's glory in the tabernacle, in the church. Point B. Now we think about the New Testament. Jesus chose the disciple to follow him and to serve him and to preach the kingdom of God. Let's see Mark chapter 3, verse 13. Mark chapter 3, verse 13. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those who he desires, and they come to him. Verse 14. And he appointed 12 to be with him, and to be sent out to preach. Verse 15. And to have authority to cast out demons. Verse 13 to 14 and 15 talk of Jesus chose a 12 disciple, and he asked the 12 disciple, first come to follow me and to be with him. And before his ascension, he told the 12 disciples, go all over the world to make discipleship for his kingdom. So when Jesus chose the 12 disciples, come and follow me, Jesus called them with a purpose. And that purpose was revealed to them 3.5 years later, to send them to go into the world to preach the gospel, to take care of his sheep. So today now is the same. Jesus called us not only for us to be saved. Jesus called us with a purpose. Jesus called us to prepare ourselves ready. And when we prepare ourselves ready, we are fully equipped, and Jesus is going to send us out for his ministry, to preach his gospel, to establish his kingdom. And that is one of the purpose of Jesus' calling, just like he called the 12 disciples. So the 12 disciples spent 3.5 years with Jesus Christ and to learn from Jesus Christ how to serve him and how to serve God. So today, we've been called by God. We have to spend time with God. We have to spend time with Jesus so that we can learn from Jesus Christ how to serve him. So almost we see that from the Old Testament to the New Testament, almost everyone who wants to serve God has to experience, has to spend a period of time to prepare themselves ready. And eventually, when they are ready, the second calling of God will come in for them to really get engaged in servitude of God. For example, Moses, we have been studying so many times. In the age of 40, he wants to serve God. But he served God maybe only one day. From his action, we can see he was not ready. So he had to be trained another 40 years in the wilderness until he was ready and the calling of God is coming. So it takes Moses for 40 years to prepare themselves ready to serve another 40 years. So today, for us, it's almost the same. Same with Moses or same with the disciple. God called us to serve him, but we have to spend time to prepare ourselves ready. And this period of time, we have to spend together with Jesus Christ. In our TJC regulation, you can see how many years does it take for members to be a board member. I don't know that in UK is a bylaw. In other part of the world, the bylaw is 3 years. Where comes the 3 years? Why a person want to become a board member should at least be 3 years. Maybe the 3 years come from the disciple of Jesus Christ. Follow him for 3 years. But 3 years is the minimum. Jesus Christ disciplined the disciple for 3 years. So the disciple was able to serve him until they die. But a member may believe in Jesus for 10 years in our church, but still cannot be considered be qualified if the member don't pursue the spiritual maturity, don't spend time enough together with Jesus. The members cannot have a spiritual maturity to assume the responsibility to serve him. So that is the reason sometimes in a church you see, membership is 300. Membership 300. But if you try to elect the church board out of 300, you can never even choose a 5 person very suitable to serve him. Since a lot of members, when you try to pick up someone really can take up the responsibility, not so many people. Not so many people. How come there are so many membership and they spend so much time in their spiritual journey, but only a few really can be entrusted with responsibility? I think that has something to do with what happened in the 12 disciples. They followed Jesus Christ for 3 consecutive years and living together. According to 1 John chapter 1, they hear Jesus, they touch Jesus, they saw Jesus, they experience Jesus. From living together, they gradually to learn how to serve him, and gradually to grow, to equip themselves ready to serve. So today is the same. We have to learn how to serve him. Spend time together with Jesus. Point one. The 12 disciples all had different backgrounds. So from Jesus chose the 12 disciples, we can understand that the 12 disciples did not have very good background. Some of them are fishermen, and some of them are tax collector. And that generation was considered a sinner. And some of them were politicians. Not until Jesus Christ chose Paul, there was none of the 12 or Pharisees who was highly respected in that society. So who can be used by Jesus Christ? Anyone who chose by Jesus can be used by him, regardless of whom they are. So in human view, we have so-called noble vessel, gold, silver, noble vessel. But in the eyes of God, the noble vessel may be different. The noble vessel may be the one who is clean, who is ready spiritually to be used by him. So God's way, God's view about the noble and the human view about noble is different. So from Jesus' chosen 12 disciples to serve him, we have to encourage ourselves, do not lose heart. I have no gift, I am nothing. If God wants to use you, God will give you something to serve him. When we look into the Bible, it seems to me God did not choose a person because the person has a gift. So God chose a person. On the other way, God chose a person to do something, so God gives the gift to somebody so that someone can fulfill his duty. So today, from Jesus chose the 12 disciples, it's an encouragement to us. If we consider ourselves as something not very noble, don't have a very outstanding condition, but still, if we want to serve him, if God accepts our servitude, we still can do a good job for him. And he will give us all the necessary gift, and he will help us to accomplish that. Point two. Jesus has the same demand for all his disciples. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Even a son of man come not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So from the service of the 12 disciples, we understand that Jesus has demanded them by his own example of servitude. He said, the Son of Man come not to serve, not to be served, but to serve. Jesus Christ come to the world to serve. So he asked all the disciples to follow him to serve. And to a degree, to give his life as a ransom for many. So when we think about the service of Jesus Christ, we can understand he tried to set example for the 12 disciples to serve God to a degree that he sacrificed his life. And this is what Jesus tried to teach them and also ask them to follow. Luke chapter 20, 22, verse 24. Luke chapter 22, verse 24 to 30. The disciples are following Jesus Christ, and they are arguing who is the greatest one. It's very obvious they already lose the focus of servitude. The servitude should focus on Jesus Christ, focus on his example. However, they lose the focus. They are arguing who is the greatest one. And Jesus tried to tell them, the greatest one is the one who serves, not the one who will serve. So the 12 disciples, before they really serve God, before Jesus' ascension, and they really serve God, Jesus used every opportunity to teach them how to serve. So today, we have been chosen by Jesus Christ to be his disciple. We have to learn how to serve in order to have a better servitude. We have to spend more time, and this is the time we spend to learn how to serve. The time is up. Okay, let's pray in silence.